Hey fam, thanks for listening to the Better Man Podcast. This season, the podcast is brought to you by Aroga Drive, one of my favorite energy supplements. If you're looking for all-day clean energy that won't let you crash and burn, Drive is the one. Stop pounding the coffee, stop crushing the Red Bulls. Instead, take Aroga Drive one time in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Check it out in the show notes or visit arogadrive.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Better Man Podcast. My name is Adam Tarno. Today on the podcast, we've got one of the most interesting guests that we've ever had as far as like diverse background goes. This guy started, he was born here in Texas. He now lives in Hawaii. And the path that he took from getting from Texas to Hawaii is just, it's remarkable. It's crazy. He started his career doing pastoral ministry, pastored a bunch of churches, ultimately ended up joining the military as a chaplain in the Navy. I didn't know this, but the Navy chaplains also serve as chaplains for the Marines. He had quite a few deployments, spent some time with the Marines as well. All of that by being a chaplain led him to Hawaii, where he is now as an active reservist. He's also got 1 foot in the corporate world, really 2 feet. That's kind of his full-time job in the corporate world. For the organization that he works for in the medical industry, he is responsible for workplace culture. What kind of an environment does that company create? And so he does a lot of coaching and executive coaching and leadership development. He does a lot of conflict mitigation, does a lot of just kind of just general chaplain type work for that organization as well. And so there were so many different things that Trevor Carpenter and I could have talked about, but I really wanted him to speak into this topic of spiritual resiliency, because those of us as men showing up to work, we know that we need to be mentally strong, emotionally strong, physically strong, but sometimes thinking about being spiritually strong when we show up to work, maybe not something that's showing up on our radar all the time. And so he's got a couple of great frameworks for us to think about, especially for those of us that have the privilege of leading a team or leading people at work as followers of Jesus. Our spiritual resiliency is so important. So he's got a couple of questions that he wants us to contemplate from an identity perspective. And then he's got these four words that'll be really helpful just to simplify. What does it mean to show up as a man at work with spiritual resiliency? So you're going to love getting to know Trevor Carpenter and enjoy our conversation about how we can be men who are spiritually resilient at work. Trevor, welcome to the Better Man Podcast. Good to have you here today.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you.
I think you are our second guest coming from Hawaii. So anybody keeping score at home, that's two in the Hawaii column.
That's right.
That we've got there. So why don't you give our listeners just a real quick background. And I like this because I, like you, have a pretty diverse background, a lot of twists and turns. And so sometimes it takes some explanation. But talk about your background from like that professional perspective, where you grew up and then what you've been doing professionally and what brought you to Hawaii.
Sure. It's great to be the second, by the way, the second Hawaiian or the Hawaii resident. I'm not Hawaiian. I'm actually a native Texan from South Central Texas, San Antonio area. A little bitty town between Austin and San Antonio. Most Dallasites and Houstonians vacation there on the weekends. The New Braunfels area, you know, is where I'm from. And but I actually grew up out in El Paso. So when people from Lubbock or Midland are like, "I'm from West Texas," I always joke and go, "Well, I'm from West Texas," like, you know,
the westest part of Texas.
Yes,
right?
And at that point, people from Midland and Lubbock and everything, they all end up going, "That's not Texas. That's Southern New Mexico." So yeah. So that's kind of how I grew up. Family was divorced, and so I had family in San Antonio and family in El Paso, and I was very typical Gen Xer. Half my year was spent in one place, half my year was spent in another. Ended up going to college in Dallas with one of the other Better Men members, David Chase, and I went through college together. While I was in college, I continued playing a sport growing up that I'd loved to this day, follow it to this day. Played rugby in Dallas. And would play for a number of years. Ended up going to grad school out in Abilene at Hardin-Simmons University, and started my work as a program director in the camp life, in camp and retreat centers outside of Corpus and did a little bit in New Mexico. Met my wife during that time while I was working at a camp area, and then moved into church work where I was youth minister. And I was always thinking about programs and strategy and what that looks like inside the church world. Ended up becoming an executive pastor at the age of 30. Only okay. 2 years later to end up being the senior pastor at that church I was executive pastor at. Still figuring out what my theology was, you know, still working mm-hmm. on that kind of stuff. People now will look back and go, man, you were a pastor, you know, of a pretty sizable congregation at the age of 32, 33. And I quickly tell them I had no idea what I was doing. I was literally reading sermons from other guys going, oh, that'd be a good sermon to preach, you know, because I was still yeah. working on that, right? Still the dew was still wet on the grass, so to speak, in my time. I would do that for the next several years. Great ministry, still a great church today. That church I first started pastoring is now being pastored by the guy that was my youth minister, and he's taken it even further beyond. Ended up moving up back up to the Metroplex from South Texas, where I was at on the border, and pastored for a couple of years at a pretty established church after they'd walked through a tragedy with a member on their staff. And what I ended up being there was I ended up being just kind of one of several individuals who would just kind of, I always call it holding back the hair while the person's still vomiting. You know, the church was still emotionally and spiritually vomiting the hurt from that tragedy that they had walked through with that minister. And as I look back now, I think I was just one of the guys that had to hold the hair back while she kept throwing up.
Yeah.
It was during that time that a buddy of mine who had joined the military after 9/11 had me come speak at his unit with the Army. It was actually 7th Special Forces in Florida. And when I was with that group, their commanding officer said, look, I don't know what you do in your world, but you belong with us. And it was that the Lord started a pattern of really speaking specifically through, I was preaching through the book of Acts, where the Lord tells Philip to leave the good work in Samaria and go to the wilderness. And it was during that time that the Lord told me, and my wife, I ironically enough, hey, I want you to leave this very nice, cushioned, second floor corner office, pastoral office with many books of leather and smells of mahogany and, golfing excursions in Collin County and call me out to the wilderness. And no kidding, Adam, 1 year later, after he started speaking to my heart, I was in the Middle East on my first deployment with an operational group. So I called the recruiter. I told him what I was saying. I was still young enough where I was still in my 30s where I didn't need to have a waiver or anything like that. Went through, became a chaplain with the Navy. And I'll never forget, I was at chaplain school and officer school, and one of the commanders walked out and said, which one of you is Carpenter? And I raised my hand, and he was like, well, you're deploying in 4 months. And so literally 1 year after the Lord started speaking to my heart, I was already several months into my first of several, what would be several deployments. So entered that chapter of that life where I spent my time at active duty Navy chaplain. Navy chaplains are also used by the Marine Corps. So I went from the surface warfare world and moved into the Marine Corps, was with Fleet Marines. And that's what brought us out to Hawaii. I was with the 3rd Marines out here in Hawaii as a chaplain, and did time with them in what's called combat logistics. And then I moved over to what's called a shore duty at School of Infantry in Camp Pendleton. And now I left the active duty world, but I remain a reservist, and I'm currently stationed with the Seabees, most people know the John Wayne movie, and I'm with that group. So I've had this military career as well that I was joking with my mom the other day. I said, I've gotten to be with these incredible operational groups, multiple deployments all over the world, got a chance to work with, different communities on the Marine and on the Navy side, still getting to do that in the expeditionary world. But it was during that time that I really worked on how to build spiritual resiliency. You know, we tell combat units physically what they need to do in order to achieve their goals in the middle of stressful situations like combat. We tell them, we educate them mentally, what they need to do, but spiritually, what do they need to do? And it was during that season that I started thinking, okay, this is something that I can have a voice in, right? Because as a Christian, as a minister, as somebody who was a pastor, you and I joked previously, even though I flunked being a Texas church pastor, you know, in my mind, I still have that responsibility and I still have that idea of what's going on. So to speak to the spiritual resiliency of that. And I noticed that many people that I was surrounding myself with in the military, they're very, you know, people in their 20s, they don't know who they are and they don't know where they're going. And so if I could speak to that, you know, if I could speak to identity, if I could speak to direction. And by the way, Adam, it's real easy when you're talking with Marines because they're trained at boot camp on land navigation, you know, and the two most important things about land navigation is you need to know where you are and then you need to know where the destination is. And once you get those coordinates locked in, if you're on a ship, you need to know where your ship is at. You need to know where your ship is going. And I had a deployment where part of my unit was with one of the special operations teams. I know in the past you've interviewed people that were part of SEAL teams and all that stuff. I had the opportunity to be a chaplain on one of those deployments, which, you know, people in the civilian world would be like, oh, so you were a SEAL. And I was like, no, there's a very big difference. I was a chaplain who was assigned to one of those units. But during that time that I was with that group, I remember I was on the flight deck with one of the senior leaders of one of the SEAL teams, and he had been an instructor at BUDS. And I asked him, I said, do you know, when people come to BUDS, do you know who's going to make it or who's not? And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, chaps, everyone that comes to BUDS has a SEAL in them. But what we do is we try to strip away the distractions so that all that's left is the SEAL. And I remember when he said that, I thought my prayer became, Lord, I want to get your special assignments. You know, I don't want to do the regular, normal, you know, kind of Christianese, you know, kind of assignment. I want some of your special assignments. I want some of your tougher assignments. So strip away anything that doesn't, that is a distraction. And the problem with that kind of prayer is the Lord answers that prayer. He will show you what your distractions were, you know? And so that led me down a path where we have it today. A lot of times, Adam, I find myself going, I'm not even supposed to be here, you know, today. I'm supposed to be back in Texas and figuring out, you know, when our next HEB run is, or concerned about the Rangers, or, you know, like I'm, but the Lord was like, no, I'm going to strip all that away from you. And so we ended up staying in Hawaii. I ended up working for a company that is building corporate culture in their company. It's actually the state's largest post-acute health system. And to be honest, I'm sitting here half the time going, I'm kind of a one trick pony. You know, in fact, I've even told my boss this, like, I'm a one trick pony. Like I'll show up every day. But I know Christ, and that's about it. That's about all I got. And it's funny, you know, he looked back at me and he goes, that's all I need. You know, I need somebody who can show up every day, because in today's business world, we have people that don't even want to show up every day. You know, they phone it in, and that's where the resiliency component comes in, and what that looks like. So that's kind of my professional history in a nutshell. Yeah. Very confusing, very convoluted.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And it really is a disservice to your background to say our backgrounds are similar, because you have done a lot of things. But I too have a lot of various things that kind of, you know, both of us find ourselves spending most of our day sitting in corporate America, in the marketplace as followers of Jesus. And I know a lot of listeners to this podcast, that's what they do as well. They show up every day. They're not on staff at churches. And they're not leading ministries. They're going to work every day. And so when I heard you have some thoughts around the spiritual resiliency, specifically at work, I thought that would be so helpful for our listeners. So there's really two pieces here. There's those two things that I want you to go back and talk about here with who and where. And then we're going to get to these four P's. That'll be the pastor side of this with a nice little alliteration there with the letter P. But To be spiritually resilient at work. So we're going to assume you're smart. You know what to do. You have some good skills to get your job done. You get it done well. You show up on time. All those things. We're going to assume those are all there. But that emotional and mental side is there. The physical side is there. But the spiritual side requires maybe some different muscles that we need to work on. And so talk about the who and the where again, and why that's so important.
No, that's great. And you know, such buzzwords and people, Simon Sinek, all those kind of guys, they talk about that why, but it really is like, why did the Lord put you in this city in that suburb, in that office space, in that part of the world at this time, right? Yeah. He's obviously writing a story. If we believe in a sovereign God who's writing this story, that's laying this out, you're a component of that, you know? And so to ask yourself, okay, then what role am I supposed to play? You know, I've been crafted in a certain way. I've been built in a certain way. And I always take the argument with people that most of our identities are built in a Western mindset. Our identities are built by our victories, right? That's why you have so many people who talk about how great they used to be in college or how great they were in high school. Or a lot of men will build their identity on who they want to be, which is why I think they spend so many Sundays wearing a jersey with somebody else's name on their back. You know, like I'm looking for this, or they hide out playing a character on a game console. So the idea is to ask yourself, why am I here? What am I, you know, what is it the Lord has given me? It's the parable of the talents. You know, the Lord has given you talents. What am I doing with that? Right. And so I think that's the first question that you ask. And my argument is, biblically, our identities are given to us at moments of brokenness. You know, Jacob's wrestling with God and God breaks his hip, and then God names him Israel. You know, Saul is broken on the road to Damascus. Mm. And he is given, you know, he takes on the moniker of Paul, you know, the Romanized name of his Hebrew name. You know, Simon is given the name Peter. And we're told that when we lay down in our old life, he raises us up to a new way of living, right? So my argument would be, find the point of pain in your struggle for identity, and then ask the Lord, what is he calling you at that moment, right? And so when you have that, you have people going, okay, I'm not just from a bad background of broken families and all this kind of stuff. I'm actually built to be resilient, where anything I can handle in the future, I've already been prepped for in the past because I experienced this trauma in my past, or I experienced this. And by the way, I'm not, you know, Adam, you and I talk about this. One thing I'm not is I'm not a psychologist. I might have watched a Henry Cloud video, and that's about as far as I got, you know. and I love those guys. I dig those guys. I'm always reading those guys because I do think there's something about that psychological, you know, but I'm big on it. The moment of pain was not the moment of your defeat. The moment of pain was possibly a time where your identity was being spoken. You know, what are you designed to do through that breaking moment? And then when we're able to articulate that, we can move forward and go, well, that's part of my identity, you know. And unfortunately, I heard Dan Crenshaw say one time, we're no longer living in a world that celebrates the victors. We celebrate the victims. So I do think you need to look at that moment where you were a victim, but Christ, right? Corinthians says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is Christ saying victoriously in that moment of pain? And he raises you from the dead, you know? And so you have that identity, and then you sit there going, okay, now that I know where I'm at, where do I want to go? What do I want to do with this? Where do I want to become? You know, what is it that you've set me forth? And so one of the things that I run through, Adam, and I don't know if you've thought about it in your own story, but because of the differences that you and I've had, we've had time in the church world. We have time in the corporate world. You know, I've had this time in the military world, you know, is that one of the things that I've understood is the Lord has taken me from point A to point B. And how many people in life, how many men in life want to get from point A to point B? So I'll ask them, where do you want to go? And realize that you're gifted with the tools that God is giving you to get to that. You know, I've really enjoyed walking with men through letting them unpack that. I was with a group on Wednesday night. And we were talking about that. You know, we even draw out a line. Let's look at these timeline moments. And what is the Lord saying on the desert floor? And let's build a composite. Once you have that why, then we're able to go, okay, and they feel empowered to now, okay, I want to go here. I want to build my business for this. Not just to build my business, but or brand or whatever, but I feel like the Lord has given me this platform to speak about his kingdom in this area. So that's kind of the steps we take on identity and then direction.
I love that. Yeah. So that is so good. So that, like, as you're driving around listening to that right now, thinking about maybe you're on the way to work of going, okay, I need to know who I am. What does God's word say about me? Where do I want to go? Which is a simple question to ask and a very difficult one to answer, especially for those, I think, that are followers of Jesus, because it's like, you need to throw in the honest answer to that, not the church Sunday school answer to that. And really thinking about where is that ambition taking you? And, And you do yourself no favors by lying to yourself and just trying to fill it up with a bunch of church words. Just write it down. Like, you just put down what you want. You can talk about it with others, and everything when you go through that is written in pencil anyway. You can always erase it and refine it and polish it and make it better. But I love those two questions because they really do get to the heart of the matter.
Where am I at right now? And by the way, in the moment of pain, I do believe, you know, you're 10 years old, your dad says something to you, right? John Eldridge has built a whole ministry on this field, right? The wounds of the father and books like Iron John and stuff like that talk about this. But that moment of pain, somewhere I believe the enemy has spoken a lie to you, and many men believe in that lie. You know, I'm terrible at this. Yeah. I'm no good at this. You know, I'm you know, like Jacob, I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I'm a con man. Right. But I would challenge the Christian to go, okay, Lord, you were also right there as well, because you're omnipresent. You know, you're omnipotent, you're omniscient. He was there as well. So Lord, would you speak truth to what maybe the lie I've been believing? Because let's go back to the land navigation. If we're at sea, I was in the Navy. They have warfare devices. I was on my path to try to get a warfare device, and one of the components was I had to drive a ship, and I was in the pilot house of a destroyer, and they had a box out in the water, and I had to steer the ship to get to the box. So I had to have the components. I knew where I was. I know where I wanted to go, and then I had to adjust the instrumentation to get the ship there. If I'm 1 degree off, the first couple of movements on that ship, you know, can be adjusted. But if I keep going even 1 degree off, man, miles down the road, I'm going to be way off the target. Well, I think, what if we've been living a lie or believing a lie about ourselves that the enemy's twisted, and I've gone 20 years, I'm 20 years off the mark of where God. So if you're in the car today, I would say, okay, Lord, start speaking to me about the moment of pain. And has there been a lie that I've been believing about myself? And then, Lord, would you speak the truth? Yeah. Because that's what God does. He speaks truth into air, right? And so, Lord, speak the truth into my life. Let me realize that that was not the myth I've been believing about myself. And I think that's going to be something that the Lord's going to empower that person to go, you know, I am somebody that can do this, right? And so I would caution the person in the car to just go, hey, be aware that the enemy's tried to twist things and get you just 1 degree off. He doesn't have to get you all the way off. He just has to get you 1 degree off. But 1 degree off for 20 years is miles away from the target that he wants you to be at.
It sure is. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, you know, let's do this with the last few minutes that we've got here to talk about those that are going to be, again, when they're done with this episode, they're walking into an office or they're going to jump on a Teams call or a Zoom call, and they're going to be the leader. Right, that they are leading a small team. Maybe they were not, maybe not the CEO, but they're going to be responsible for leading some people. This is one of the ways we show our spiritual resiliency, is the way we lead people at work, which can be overwhelming for a lot of people. I know this is an area that, again, for you and I professionally, we deal a lot in this space on what a leader does at work. But I love this list of words that you've got with protecting and providing and presiding. And then being present, because I think it's applicable to so many areas of our leadership as men. We can use these at home, but thinking about how this applies to work, go through that list real quickly and talk about why that is so important for us at work to show up and to be these types of men.
I actually didn't come up with those. Like, I was joking with you. I'm just a hack, you know. So if you're in the car today and you're like, man, I'm just a hack, brother, I'm right there with you. Like, I'm right there with you. Ryan Mickler is leading a great men's movement as well. And in his book, Sovereignty, he talks about men having three major things, and that men are protectors, they're providers, and they're presiders. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, most people, especially in Texas, you're like, well, I'm a protector. I've got a gun, and, you know, I drive a big Ford F-150, and but also protecting the sanctity of the relationships you're in. You know, at home, does my wife have access to my phone? Is she able to poke up here? Am I protecting that relationship? Mm-hmm. At work, are you protecting the assets that you've been responsible for? Which leads into the next part, the presiding. Are you a good steward of the responsibilities you've been given? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking into that Teams meeting, guiding and directing? And are you kind of like what we talked about with when you and I were talking earlier about the Arbinger? Am I trying to look at our job through the lens of the eyes of the people that I lead. You know, let me try to understand where they're at, right?
That's right.
Protection, presiding, and then the other part is providing. Am I providing the people in that meeting the tools they need in order for them to excel, right? At home, am I providing the support and stability? I have two daughters, and that means I need to learn the language of ballet and Taylor Swift and all these different things, not because it's necessarily my interest, but I need to provide the emotional support because I'm modeling the type of man that I'm wanting them to be attracted to as they grow up and they get older and they start. So the providing, protecting, and presiding. And then my wife one time heard me talking about those three things. And she said, as a woman, can I speak into a man's life? And I'm absolutely. And she said, you know, be present, you know, be present, you know, my wife and I laugh at the Sebastian Maniscalco comedy bit where, you know, guys sit around talking about their fantasy football teams all the time. She's like, you know, to be don't just always be checking, what am I going to do? But what does that look like at work? Well, don't be concerned necessarily about what I'm going to achieve next year. Keep an eye on that. And I'll even finish off with this. If we're driving on the road, if you're in the car, if you're staring out of the rearview mirror the whole time, you're going to crash. If you're staring out of the side windows all the time, you're going to crash. You need to glance at the side windows. You need to glance at the rearview mirror, but you've got to stay focused on the window that's right in front of you. You know, what's right in front of you. And so if you don't do that, you will crash. And I think a lot of men crash because they're looking in their past all the time. Well, I used to be this. I used to do this. Yeah. Or they're looking at the side windows. Who are the people around me? What are they doing? You know, I'm scrolling through Facebook. I'm scrolling through Instagram. I'm looking at what other people are doing. When we all know that those are fabricated, manufactured lies anyway, right? You can glance at the side, see what other people are doing. You can glance in your past, but stay focused on what's ahead, right? That's what the Bible tells us. I put aside the things that I've been a part of, right? And I look forward to that day. Martin Luther said, I'm concerned with 2 days, today and that day, you know? And so I think that's part of being present.
That is so good. And listen, in our post-pandemic world where there's a lot of people spread out in a lot of different areas, I think that idea of presence is so big, right? That is so big and so helpful for leaders. So I'm glad that your wife put that in and added that one P to Ryan's list there, because I think it really is. It's applicable and it's really helpful. And so I hope that encourages the guys that are driving into work right now, the guys that are maybe on the way home from work thinking about their day tomorrow, that listen, to be a leader, it's an important role. God is in that, right? So he chose you to be a leader there. And so what that means is you're going to try to protect your people. You're going to try to protect the assets. You're going to try to preside over those. You're going to try to provide for people. You're going to provide them with coaching, with encouragement, with direction. Sometimes just being present is one of the best things you can do as a leader, is just to be there, looking at people, talking to them, letting them see that you're around. Just like when you and I hop on an airplane and you see the captain of the airplane standing right there welcoming people on, there's something about that presence that's very comforting, right? To know somebody knows what they're doing here. And so for us as leaders with our teams, that is such a great way for us to show that spiritual resiliency at work. So Trevor, it was great to meet you. Thank you so much for your wisdom today and sharing with us here on the Better Man podcast. This was really helpful.
It's my honor, and Better Man is doing such a great job of addressing those inner things and walking with men through the wounds. In fact, I would even use this as a moment just to say, if you're sitting here today and obviously remember that first series of lessons you walked through with Better Man, a lot of it was talking about those wounds and letting the Lord speak truth into you. So even as we head into, if you're heading into a weekend, I would just encourage the listener to maybe take inventory this weekend, you know, let it be a time of spring cleaning, so to speak, where you're able to kind of go, Lord, kind of, what are some lies and some cobwebs that I need to have your truth spoken in? And I love the ministry of Better Man, and I love what you guys are doing. And I've benefited from it. I've been a part of movements of men out here in Hawaii that have benefited from it. And a lot of those things address these topics just with different wording but very copacetic, very collaborative. And so thank you for that. And thank you for what you do, Adam.
Love it. All right, Trevor. Great to be with you.
You too.
Hey brothers, if we want to finish strong, we need to start strong. And I can't think of a better way to start your day than with some encouragement from God's word. That's what Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional, is all about. Start your morning with Better Mornings and be the man God has called you to be. Check out the link in the show notes or visit betterman.com/resources and sign up for Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional.